Welcome to Pop Culture Podcast. My name is Spencer, and for those of you who are new or just don't know, this podcast is basically just an audio version of my videos over on YouTube, which you can find if you go over to YouTube and type in the search bar at The Film Punch. If for whatever reason you can't find me over there, you can also find me on my Instagram, which is also at The Film Punch, and the link in the bio should take you where you need to go. Not only can you find the video form of what I talk about over here on the channel, but you can also find it earlier, so highly recommend going over there and subscribing. I would very much appreciate it. As for this episode today, I have two reviews for you, one TV review and one movie review. Movie review coming before the TV review. And the first review will be for The Old Way, which is a new Nicolas Cage Western. And just saying Nicolas Cage in the first place is enough to make me want to watch it. But when you slap the word Western on there, yeah, you got something that has me interested for sure. Whether it be good or bad, I'll get to that in a little bit. But the review after that will be for Marvel's MODOK, which is a Hulu original series that only lasted one season before being canceled, unfortunately. And of course, I'm reviewing that in honor of the new Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania trailer, where we had an appearance, two little appearances of MODOK in that trailer, which I'm very excited to see, but also looks crazy. And my review for MODOK will just go to show that maybe you gotta embrace the craziness with the character. But yeah, those are my two reviews for today. Let's not waste any more time. Let's thank the sponsor and get into it.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Alright, so 2023's The Old Way is directed by Brett Donahue, written by Carl W. Lucas, and is about an old gunslinger and his daughter who must face the consequences of his past when the son of a man he murdered years ago arrives to take his revenge. This is a western starring Nicolas Cage as the gunslinger Colton Briggs, and it also has Ryan Kira Armstrong as his daughter Brooke, and both of these actors do a fantastic job in this movie, one of which I think stands out a little more than the other. And you might be thinking I'm saying Nicolas Cage, but it is actually Ryan Kira Armstrong. I think she's pretty fantastic in this film, and I'll get into that a little bit more in a bit. But yeah, Nicolas Cage Western, very interesting concept there alone, just having Nicolas Cage in that genre of films. I'll be honest, I haven't really seen a whole lot of Westerns. I've only seen one old Western as far as I know, and that is Shane. As far as other Westerns, though, I've really only seen Tarantino ones, so Django Unchained and Hateful Eight. So I really don't have a whole lot of context when it comes to this genre, but with this film right here, it kind of feels like your classic Western. It kind of has the classic story that you would come to expect with that revenge plot. And, you know, you have the badass Colton Briggs, who does get some badass moments in here, but for the most part, I would say this is a very talky movie. I want to say that right off the bat. You would think there's a lot more action in this movie than there actually is. It's an hour and 35 minutes, and in that time, you only really get action in the very beginning and the very end. And in the middle, I mean, there's a little bit, but you're mostly just getting characters talking, and you don't really care about what they're talking about, or at least for me personally, I didn't really care about what they were talking about. But when it came down to the character of Ryan Kira Armstrong, she definitely was the standout. There are undertones to her character as well as Colton Briggs' character that have some autistic personality traits. And I've seen some people, or at least one person in particular, complaining about how they didn't really address that more. But at the same time, I thought it was kind of interesting how they had that personality trait. But at the time, they didn't really address it because they didn't really address that kind of stuff. They didn't address, you know, mental health. And that's kind of something they address in the film in terms of talking about how they don't address it. So I thought that was a little clever, but at the same time, it felt a little weird to include that in this film. It just didn't feel completely necessary, but it did make for some good scenes involving Ryan Kira Armstrong as Brooke, which again, real standout of the film, I think, is her. And if you're not familiar with this actress, she starred as the little girl in the remake of Firestarter, which I wasn't a huge fan of, but I didn't hate as much as some other people. I thought she was pretty good in it for the most part. She kind of has a similar stoic type of acting style in this movie as she did in that one. And I'm wondering if that's just kind of her acting style. But I would love to see her do some different types of roles in the future rather than kind of sticking to this one kind of character in the notes. Character note that I've seen her in the last two films, at least. Who else do we have in here? We have Clint Howard as Eustace, which I believe is Ron Howard's brother, I'm pretty sure. We have Noah Le Gros as James McAllister, which is the villain of the film. Eustace being one of the buddies that goes along with him. You know, one of the villains of the film, I guess you could say. Part of the posse. We have Carrie Knupp as Ruth Briggs, the wife to Colton Briggs. And basically in this movie, I'll kind of set it up for you. Maybe it's a bit of a spoiler, but I think they show it in the trailer. Basically, her character is murdered by this posse, and Colton Briggs, being the legendary outlaw that he used to be before he was a family man, has to now go and get his revenge. So again, you know, I don't know if I said this before, but they kind of set Colton Briggs up to kind of be the John Wick of the Old West, and you know, that's a really cool concept, if they would have done a little bit more for it, with it, I should say, which I'll get to in a sec. We have Shiloh Fernandez as Boots, which I believe is another one of the members of this posse, and then Abraham Benrubi, hopefully I'm saying that right, as Big Mike, which is the other one. Then Nick Sarcey as Marshall Jarrett, and I believe that's pretty much the main cast for you there. Yeah, I would say so. I'm going to start by saying this. No, I already said this. I haven't watched that many Western movies. I'm looking at my notes, so that's why I said that. But yeah, I haven't watched many Westerns, so when it comes to this film, again, I don't really have the context to other Westerns, but while watching this movie, the whole revenge plot alone felt like an old Western movie. It felt like it had the essence, or at least a little bit of the essence of a Western, but it never really got me invested in the actual time period that it was in. You know, did I fully feel taken out of the film? Not necessarily. It didn't feel like they were on a soundstage. But at times when the characters were talking to each other, with the dialogue that they were given, it didn't feel organic. Not just to that time period, but even to this time period. Just it didn't come off as people talking to each other. And a lot of that dialogue comes from Brooks' character, Ryan Kiara Armstrong. And with her character maybe having those, you know, undertones of autism, you know, it kind of enhances some of the stuff that she might say, but at the same time, the things that she's saying just doesn't sound like anything a kid would say. The things that she's doing doesn't really seem like a thing a kid would say. And then, you know, not only that, but there's elements in this film that feel like kind of chopped down for the sake of time. It feels like whatever studio, and honestly, I'll get to that in a second, but you know, the many studios that were involved in this film, we're just like, you need to condense this down. It needs to be a lot shorter. There's things in here where it feels like, oh, we should be seeing this scene after this. And I'll just say it right out now. You know, it's when Brooke is being taught how to shoot by Colton. And she's like, all right, can I try the revolver? And then I feel like we're about to see a scene of her trying out the revolver, but then it just gets on to the next thing. And I'm just like, really, I would have liked it if you would have taken the time to kind of set up that she can use it rather than just, you know, possibly showing that she can use it later on. I don't know, it's just stuff like that. I would have liked those character moments a little bit more, less talking and more just maybe not action, but just doing, you know, doing rather than telling. And that's what a lot of this movie is, telling you how badass, how savage Colton Briggs was back in the day. You know, it tells you a lot of that, but it rarely ever shows you a lot of that. They show him being smart in a lot of these situations, but when it comes down to the fights, they don't really always show enough of him actually doing that, actually taking, you know, a bunch of dudes down all at once when it should be impossible. You know, maybe this is just me projecting onto the movie what I wanted it to be, but I really thought this movie could have been, you know, with the lens of, you know, today, with the movies that have come out today, like John Wick and Nobody and all that kind of stuff, those types of films, I feel like this film almost could have been the John Wick of the Old West. And, you know, that's kind of what they were trying to set it up to be. And that's not really what it ended up being. I think I was kind of let down by the end. It was a little anticlimactic. The villain in here, while he isn't the weakest villain I've ever seen in a movie, he isn't really the strongest villain I've ever seen in a movie. The actor's pretty good for the most part. He is slightly intimidating, but at times he does. And here's another thing about this movie. Sorry, I know I'm all over the place right now, but another thing about this film is that there's so much in here that's played off for a joke, and then there's other things where you don't know for sure if they're trying to be serious with it or not, because the line between the jokes and not jokes, it just doesn't always make sense where that line is. You know, it's a little tonally ambiguous, I guess you could say. Because there's points where I'm laughing throughout this movie where I'm like, wait, am I not supposed to be laughing at this? Because I'm laughing at this, but I feel like the creators might not be, maybe that wasn't their intention. And, you know, there was a relatively, not a large audience by any means, like under 10 people, but, you know, over 5 people, I would say, in the audience watching this with me, and they were laughing throughout the film. And again, you know, watching a couple other reviews for the film, it makes me wonder how much was actually supposed to be taken seriously and how much was actually supposed to be played off for a laugh. And, part of that just kind of comes with Nicolas Cage in these types of movies. You know, it's kind of hard to not just see Nicolas Cage. And for a lot of the movie, I feel like I just saw Nicolas Cage. I'm being completely honest. He didn't have the greatest accent, like Old West, you know, Southern accent. Didn't really sound like a cowboy to me. But at the same time, I bought it enough. But again, the reason I didn't really buy it is because they were telling more. They were more than they were showing. But yeah, the whole element of comedy in here just feels really weird, because this feels like the film that would take itself very seriously. And I like the elements of comedy in here. They're fun, but again, there's moments in here where you're not sure if you're supposed to be laughing or not. And then there's moments where you're just like, oh yeah, I mean, I can see they were going for a joke there, but, yeah, not the right time. This is a weird time for a joke, but, I don't know. For the most part, it's a film that's all over the place, kind of tonally, and it's a film that should have shown more than it told. It had a very short runtime. I think they should have done a lot more, had a lot more action throughout that runtime. There's a lot they could have done. Sure, it could just be me projecting what kind of film I would have rather watched onto this film, but it's simple for the most part, but simple always isn't the best. And while watching the film, I was like, man, I might at least have this at my number 2 spot for like my favorite movies that I've watched this year so far, which by the way, it's only 3, but it is down to that 3rd spot because there's just things they do in this where they're trying to be more poetic than anything, than, having like a satisfying conclusion to the film. They were trying to be more poetic with it. And, maybe that kind of gives away the ending, but at the same time, while watching the movie, the ending was kind of predictable. So at the end of the day, this is going to be one of those very forgettable movies. Not a super long review for this one, I know, because, again, it's not one that really stands out to me. It had a lot of potential while watching the film. I was actually excited to see what comes next, but by the time we saw what came next, I was pretty let down, a little underwhelmed, and I just thought it was kind of anticlimactic by the end. Again, just a lot they could have done in this film, but decided not to for the sake of time, money, whatever it might be, power, I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna end this review here because obviously I'm going crazy. But yeah, The Old Way 2023, definitely not a great movie. Yeah, and I'll run you through my ranking system real quick. Got premium tickets, worth the price of admission, plus watching or buying on VOD, Blu-ray, DVD, all that stuff. Standard subscription, not subscription, standard ticket, worth the price of admission, discounted ticket, worth watching on a discounted price, and free ticket worth watching if it's free. I would probably give this a discounted ticket. I don't think it's awful. I think there are elements to be enjoyed. Like I said, the performance from Ryan Kiara Armstrong is the biggest standout of this film for me. It is the reason to watch it. It's not a super long one, but at the same time, having basically the majority of the middle of this film just be all talking makes it feel a lot longer than it is. So definitely not one I would recommend. I wouldn't be rushing to the theaters to watch it, but if you are a fan of Nicolas Cage and you want to watch every movie he's in, by all means, go check it out. But really not worth watching unless it's like, you know, $5 Ticket Tuesday, which is something, a promotion that my theater has near me. So, yeah, I mean, might be fun to watch on the big screen. I really feel like that's the only place that it'll be fun to watch is on the big screen, because I feel like if you're watching this on Netflix, you can easily just change it to something else. So even giving it a free ticket probably wouldn't be quite worth it there. But standard ticket, or not standard ticket, discounted ticket, it's getting late, I'm sorry. Yeah, not bad, but not great. Probably not one I'm going to remember by the end of the year. Not going to end up on my top 10 worst by any means, but not going to end up on my top 10 best. So have you seen 2023's The Old Way? Probably not. But if you have, what did you think? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. Or, you know, I don't know. I didn't dislike it. I didn't like it. I guess I'm in the middle for the most part. There's things I like about it. There's things I don't like about it. It's about a 50-50 for me. So definitely in the middle. Have you not seen this film? Are you planning on watching it anytime soon? Why or why not? Again, probably not, because it's an indie film. It's a Nicolas Cage film. I feel like that's the only reason people are really going to watch this one. But again, the reason to watch it might not even be for Nicolas Cage. But yeah, leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload, and I will see you in the next one. All right, so MODOK is a Hulu original series that ran for one season back in 2021 and then got canceled, unfortunately. It's a robot chicken style show set in the Marvel Universe with the character of MODOK voiced by Patton Oswalt. And it has a really great voice cast in here, of course, Patton Oswalt being a really great voice actor, along with the other people that I'll mention in a minute. Not only that, it has a lot of humor, it has a lot of heart, and just the animation in general, I think, is a really fun format for the Marvel Universe that hasn't really been done before. And if you didn't watch my trailer discussion for Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, I mentioned this show in that discussion because, of course, the character of MODOK showed up in that trailer. And I thought it'd be fun for the people that do know MODOK and for the people that don't know MODOK to have this review out for them to maybe learn a little bit more or kind of reminisce about this show. But yeah, I would definitely recommend checking this out right off the bat. I know I'm kind of giving away what I think about this show, but the only reason I'm talking about it is because I think it's worth talking about. Like I said, it came out in 2021, so I could easily just forget about this and never even talk about it on the channel. But with, you know, the cancellation of the show and also the new look of MODOK in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, it just looks crazy in there, and some people might be a little turned off by that. They might be a little weirded out, and I just want to give them this show to show that this character is ridiculous and there's really no way to do it seriously. But this show is created for television by Jordan Blum and Patton Oswalt, of course, who stars in the show as MODOK. I almost forgot the name for a second there. And based on the Marvel Comics by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee. In the voice cast, I already mentioned Patton Oswalt, but we also have Amy Garcia as his wife. Yes, MODOK's wife, Jodie Tarleton. We have Ben Schwartz as his son, Lou Tarleton. Ben Schwartz, one of my favorite, you know, comedians, voice actors, actors just in general. I think he's hilarious, and I love the character of Lou in here, which I'll get to in a minute. We have Melissa Fumero as Melissa Melissa Fumero as Melissa Tarleton, the daughter of MODOK, of course. And you might know her from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I believe she plays Amy Santiago, one of my favorite shows for sure. I love that one. Who else do we have here? We have John Daly as Super Adaptoid. Kind of a little sidekick, kind of house bot for MODOK, although he probably wouldn't like me calling him a house bot. We have Sam Richardson as Gary Geraldson, which is, and everybody at AIM, which is this company that MODOK owns, or at least in this show, Beck Bennett as Austin Vandersloot, like trying to take over AIM, MODOK's company. But essentially at MODOK's company, there's a bunch of people dressed up in these yellow hazmat suits. There's this one guy, they don't show him like losing his arm ever, but there's just one guy in a yellow hazmat suit who's just like missing his right arm. And he's constantly talking about how he's just like missing that arm. Sam Richardson, great actor. I think he's hilarious. And that character in there, just kind of one of those side characters that's just kind of like used as a joke, but at the same time, you kind of got to love him. He's hilarious. Who else do we have here? We have Wendy McLendon Covey as Monica Rappaccini. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Probably not. But that is actually a character from the comics, I believe. Monica is like a really big character attached to MODOK in the comics, if I'm remembering correctly. Really the only, you know, context I have with MODOK is just seeing pictures from him in the comics. seeing him in the Marvel Avengers game, and then this show here. Who else do we have? Just a couple people I will mention that play some other Marvel characters that you might recognize. We have John Hamm playing Iron Man slash Tony Stark, who does a great job voicing the character. You know, I feel like he would be a cool live-action Tony Stark, but I feel like his voice is a little bit better for Tony Stark than his actual look. No offense towards his look, because obviously he's a very handsome man, but I feel like at this point he might be just a little too old for the part. Just a little bit. But also, who do we have here? Trevor Duvall as Baldur the Brave, which is actually a character they were about to bring into the Marvel Universe with, I believe, Thor Love and Thunder. It was going to be played by Daniel Craig. Hopefully we'll see that character in the Marvel Universe going forward. That'd be cool, especially played by Daniel Craig, but we shall see. And then the big one in here, he plays somewhat of a big part, especially towards the end of this first season, or I guess the only season, is Nathan Fillion playing Simon Williams slash Wonder Man, who is a character that might soon be played by Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, from what I heard, which if that's the case, I love that actor. He's one of my favorite actors right now, so just to get him in the MCU would be fantastic. But yeah, Wonder Man in here, quite a fun character. Just to mention a couple other people, and I'm not going to mention the characters for these two people here in particular because they voice multiple characters. When it comes to shows like this, it's not out of the ordinary for, you know, one person to play multiple characters. Bill Hader and Kevin Michael Richardson play a slew of characters in this show. Two of arguably one of the greatest voice actors of the generation that we're in right now. You know, come for me if you want, but I think Bill Hader is a great voice actor. He can do so much. He literally like did the voice for BB-8 in The Force Awakens. So literally, like, if you want to argue with me that he's not a good voice actor, you can just stop that argument right now. Kevin Michael Richardson, I can't remember anything at the moment that he's been in. I feel like he might play King Shark in the Harley Quinn show, but I might be mistaking him with somebody else. But I know he's done a lot of voice work, so also really talented guy there. But Bill Hader, being one of my favorite actors, you know, he's one of those people I have to mention whenever he shows up anywhere. Last person I will mention here, actually two people I'll mention, because this is how this show works with, and it kind of does a similar thing with She-Hulk, the way She-Hulk brought in these, like, really just obscure characters for Marvel. I don't even know if these are actual Marvel characters. I would imagine so, but we have Whoopi Goldberg as Marion Pouncey slash Poundcakes and Dustin Ybarra as Antonia Rodriguez slash Armadillo. I'm guessing those are like really deep cut Marvel characters, similar to what they did in She-Hulk, having those really deep cut Marvel characters. I love it when, you know, Marvel in particular does this kind of stuff to bring out these characters that nobody would ever think even existed. DC has a lot of really great characters like that, like Danny the Street. He's literally like a sentient street. Yeah, just look it up. He actually shows up in Doom Patrol, I believe, but I haven't watched that show personally. I'm more of a Marvel fan than DC, if you can't tell. But yeah, lots of really great voice talent in here, lots of really fun characters, like I said, and definitely some fun little cameos and Easter eggs from other Marvel characters that you might know. I know there's a lot of other ones in there that I'm missing, but Fing Fang Foom is one of them. You know, there's lots of different little, 20% low battery, oh no. But yeah, there's a lot of really cool Easter eggs in here that if you're not paying attention, or if you're not aware of some of these more deep cut characters, you might not even notice it in the background. You might think it's just randomness going on in the background, but the fun thing about this type of, I mean, when it comes to pretty much most animation, you can do this, but with this type of claymation thing that they're going for, very Robot Chicken-esque, it makes everything in the background just kind of seem like a kid playing with their action figures, and I feel like that's the most fun part about this. You know, it kind of does a similar thing to what the Lego Movie does, where it's just so fun to watch because it's so energetic, and it's also just like very detail-oriented, so even if you're not necessarily paying attention to what they're talking about, you can look in the background and just see like all these different details. And maybe it's not even a detail like a little Marvel Easter egg or anything like that, but it's just small little details of like maybe some character doing something funny in the background. You know, there's a lot of really clever stuff that they do in this show. not even just like on the surface with what they're doing in terms of the story and, you know, the voice acting and whatnot, but even in the background, even the subtle details, I think they fill that empty space with something. And, you know, rarely does it ever feel like there's too much on the screen. They really set up this world perfectly. But yeah, Patton Oswalt in here as MODOK. He's actually in the MCU now as that little troll that showed up at the end of Eternals. Some people might not even know that that is him. It didn't really sound like him, to be honest. But Patton Oswalt, he does a lot of great voice work. He did Remy the Rat in Ratatouille, which is one of my favorite Pixar movies for sure. He's done a lot of other voice work outside of that. But Ben Schwartz, oh my god, I love Ben Schwartz. He is so funny. He makes me laugh so hard. And Lou Tarleton in here, the son of MODOK, he is the funniest character. He steals the show whenever he is on screen. There's a moment in here where MODOK, and I'll say this right off the bat about the kind of story that's going on here. MODOK, he got this crazy villain, and it was kind of fun, like those little hazmat guys that I was talking about. I think I mentioned that before. Yeah, those little hazmat guys in the yellow suits that I was talking about. In the very beginning of the show, they're like, they see MODOK leave work. They're like, I wonder where he goes, probably to his evil lair. And then he just shows up in his garage and he's like, oh great, they didn't take out the trash. And you just see this evil, maniacal villain just come home to a wife and children. And, you know, with the typical story like this, you know, he's kind of a piece of shit. So, you know, his marriage is on the rocks. One of his kids, at least, doesn't necessarily like him, that being Melissa Tarleton, because, you know, she's the daughter, she's a teenager and all that. Funny enough, Lou isn't actually in one of the chairs like MODOK is, but Melissa is. If they could have gone on with more seasons, maybe they could have, you know, put a little more into that story as to why she's in a chair and he isn't. I don't know. But maybe they didn't really care about that. Maybe that wasn't a big deal, you know. But I thought it was interesting that he wasn't in one, but she was. Maybe because her mind is more expanded. I don't know. I'm not going to get too deep with that. But let me see. Just looking at my notes here. But yeah, I love the concept of MODOK coming home to a family and having normal, everyday human issues while also trying to, you know, take over the world. And like I said before, you have the character of Austin Vanderbeek, played by Beck Bennett, who comes in. He's this new big CEO guy who comes in, you know, sponsored by Monster. Literally every drawer in his office has a Monster energy drink in it. And I'm just like, oh my god, he's literally one of those types of guys. And I just love the way Beck Bennett plays him too. Beck Bennett was definitely a perfect casting choice for this type of character. But essentially, he's taken over the company of AIM, which is a company that has been introduced in the MCU, I believe, with Iron Man 3. That was the character that that Mandarin, you know, was the head of, essentially, I believe. So it is, you know, an element that could come back in the future. I think it might, you know, with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, maybe MODOK will come out of the quantum realm and take over that company, possibly. I would like that. But that's beside the point. Another thing I will say to the point of Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, do I think the character of MODOK will be as funny as he is in this show? Not necessarily, but I feel like with a character like that, there's only so much that you can take seriously with a dude with a gigantic head and like little tiny arms and legs. Like, it looks hilarious, trust me, but like, I feel like people will get used to it when it comes to the actual movie. You only see a couple shots in the trailer, but again, like, I don't think they're gonna be able to take it too seriously. As serious of a tone as that trailer has, I don't think it's gonna be quite as serious all the time as that trailer kind of sets the tone up to be, because even the, you know, like Avengers Endgame trailer is super dark. It kind of had to be, but by the time the movie came out, it was kind of funny. And I feel like that will probably be the case with Quantumania, but that's beside the point. We are talking about MODOK. But yeah, the character of Lou, hilarious. He's the reason to watch the show, honestly. He's the reason I like to watch the show or rewatch the show every once in a while. I did watch this when it first came out and I very much enjoyed it then. And just with the release of the Quantumania trailer, I was like, hey, they showed MODOK in there. I think it would be a fun thing to just quickly review and give my thoughts on. I really don't have a whole lot else to say about it, to be completely honest, other than it hits on the comedy. It hits on some surprisingly, you know, heartfelt elements in there that you wouldn't quite expect when it comes to, you know, the relationship between MODOK and his wife. You know, typically in a show like this, that mushy-gushy stuff just wouldn't quite cut it. But in here, it actually works, because even with as evil as MODOK is in this show, you still kind of like the guy. You know, they do enough stuff in here to actually make you like him and make you feel for him. So at the end of the day, this is a show I would definitely recommend to you guys if you have Hulu. I wouldn't say you have to necessarily buy a subscription to Hulu to watch it. But let me see if I have any other notes. I don't think so. I think I said a lot of what I already had to say. Yeah, pretty much. I think that is it. Oh, I hate to spoil this, but there's a moment in there where you get two Lus. You know, it's MODOK, so he's like a science guy, and Lou gets, like, you know, duplicated at one point, and then you just have both of the Lus just, like, best friends with each other. Funniest shit in the world. Like, I could literally just watch them go back and forth all day. Maybe it's just the blonde in me, but they're just hilarious. Like, the biggest takeaway in here, if nothing else, just watch this for Ben Schwartz's Lou, because it makes me laugh so hard. But yeah, I mean, it might not be the most factual in terms of telling you about the character of MODOK. It might not give you the most factual origin. You know, it's maybe not the most comic book accurate, but at the end of the day, it will give you the essence of the character. It will show you that it's a character that you can't necessarily take too seriously, because at the end of the day, of course, it is a giant freaking head in a floating chair. So, you know, there's only so much you can take seriously with that. So in case you're wondering, no, it's not necessarily a character that you have to take seriously in Ant-Man, because I don't think they're going to completely play him that way. I think he's going to kind of be a badass at moments, especially when he has that mask on. But for the most part, it's going to be played for laughs, I feel like. It has to be. But yeah, not the most in-depth review of the show ever, I know. But I just wanted to come on and talk about it real quick, because it's maybe one of those shows that flew under people's radar. And, you know, for people that are interested in this new Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania thing, they're curious about the character of MODOK, I thought it'd be fun to come in and talk about it for a little bit. And maybe, who knows, if I get enough people to go watch this show, maybe if we can get people on the MODOK train, maybe they'll uncancel it and go for another season, because I would really love another season of this show. I think it's fantastic. It's a lot of fun and definitely worth watching. Again, I'm not going to give this like a premium subscription, which usually means you should buy the subscription service to watch it. I would give it a standard, which means it's worth the price of the subscription if you already have it. So yeah, if you have like the Disney bundle, or if you just have Hulu, definitely worth your time watching. It's not going to take up a whole lot of your day. About 25 minutes each for each episode. You know, if you don't have ads, that's not too bad for me personally. So yeah, give MODOK a watch on Hulu if you got it. Yeah, you might thank me, or you might be like, hey, the show isn't for me, but I would completely understand. Either way, if you have seen MODOK on Hulu, what did you think about it? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? It's definitely a show I very, very, very much like, but I wouldn't say love, because love is a strong word. Is it, again, one of the best shows I've watched, you know, of all time? Not necessarily. And since it only had one season, there's only so much you can really go off of just from that first season alone, which is also kind of why, you know, this review wasn't as in-depth as it could be. Plus, I just didn't want to give much away, because I really want people to go watch it. I think it's a fun time. It's worth watching if you have Hulu or the Disney bundle or whatever it might be. Go check it out. I would very much appreciate it. Have you not seen the show? Are you planning on checking it out? Why or why not? I'd love to hear from you. Really, any comments you have, I would love to hear from you guys. I respond to pretty much every comment. Leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload, and I will see you in the next one.